Speechless is brought to you by Canopy Strategic Partners. Welcome to a special episode of Speechless. On this episode, I sat down with Dr. Kathy Yoon Khalil to talk about cultural fit, what our institutions mean by cultural fit, how we define that cultural fit, and if cultural fits become a barrier for diversifying the workforce within our institutions. Have you ever heard this? We need to find the right cultural fit for our organization. Going through interview processes, going through job description formation, even at the point of a finalist, even at the point of the individual being identified. Mm-hmm. Is it the right cultural fit?
I'm Charles Hopper.
I'm Dr. Kathy Yoon Khalil.
And this is
Speechless.
I want to unpack that a little bit and ask, what does it mean to be a cultural fit? How do we define our culture? Does that fit invite diversity, equity, and inclusion inside of our institutions?
I'm so glad we're talking about this because I feel like this is not a clean cut answer, right? Cultural fit matters. You want to have a person that can get along with the other folks in your facility. And not only that, if you're like many institutions trying to repair your staff morale, trying to come back from a traumatic couple of years or a traumatic incident or a, you know, toxic leadership, you want to make sure that the people you're hiring are going to carry forth the culture that you want to see at your institution. So on the one hand, yes, we should be looking for people who have empathy and understanding and can talk about their feelings and you know, also have like maybe not the exact content knowledge we've always expected, but maybe something different that contributes to the profession in a different way. However, what I think we mean sometimes by cultural fit is, do they make me feel comfortable? Right? And do they make me feel comfortable often translates to, do I understand them? Do they not intimidate me? Do I relate to them? And that ties to race, ethnicity, gender identity, any number of minority statuses.
What you've described is a bias at its core.
Absolutely. An implicit bias.
And here's a key takeaway for me. Oftentimes, culture is implied and not expressly defined. Mm-hmm.
They'll say things in the beginning, like the blah, blah, blah is a champion of conservation with projects all over the globe. We're looking for a dynamic, intellectual, a creative individual who wants to move our mission forward. You know, like they use that kind of language, but a lot of times they don't talk about their core values, although I do see that changing a little bit, which is nice. Because I think sharing your core values can be a really great way of expressing what you stand for and what that culture really means and come back to like, okay, well, if your culture means this and you're trying to accomplish it by doing this other thing, don't you think there's a disconnect there or a problem?
So that brings us to, you know, not only are we, how do we define culture? How is culture, you know, born? But does it create a barrier?
I definitely think it can because it, you know, even things like core values that are meant to reinforce a culture are entirely dependent on who's in the room when you create those core values. They can look completely different. There's not one objective, perfect set of values that will help an institution to achieve its greatest potential. We are only human, and the things that we create have biases because we're human beings. I absolutely know I have biases, and I probably don't know half of them, but I know that I have them. This is why we talk about diversity being so important, because if you create a system in which the majority culture has all the say, all the influence, all the clout, then what you're going to get is going to be very biased towards whatever they care about. And you're not going to get people who see the holes, right? Or who see the problems in the system. And you're not going to get people who are able to yes and that creation to its next level. But here's the thing though, is that, you know, I hear from a lot of folks like, well, we would hire that candidate, but it's just such a risk, right? Like, it's just, it's a big risk. And we're not in a place where we can, you know, we can take a risk right now. We have to be risk averse.
What about changing the dynamic? What if it's not viewed as a risk? What if it's viewed as an X factor, an opportunity for something greater than, right? So it is an exponential effect. It's almost like a value proposition for diversity of thought. So if I'm an organization that wants to invite in communities, or I'm an organization that is looking to broaden its impact, its reach, its approach, maybe an X factor would be to have someone representing those communities, someone who can speak authentically to what speaks to those communities, ways to invite those communities into the conversation, and therefore becoming more relevant, having a place at the table that invites conversation, invites forward thinking, as opposed to not including those communities into the conversation.
And a couple parts of that worry me. The first part, that risk is a perception, right? Like, you perceive risk. It does not exist objectively. So if you perceive something or someone to be a risky move or a risky hire, it becomes true because that is what you have decided is the on the wrong balance of cost benefit. And so we have to think about what we consider to be risky, right? And if your definition of risky includes someone who doesn't look like, sound like, or have the traditional skill set that you have been looking for, but has a lot of the other skills, but have gotten them in different ways, like, that's something to reevaluate. And I think the other thing you said that was really interesting was this idea of having someone who represents the communities, and my brain immediately flashed the neon sign of tokenism, right? Because I think a lot of places would say, well, we have someone, we have a you know, youth of color, urban youth group, we have a, you know, a person of color in a management position, we have that, and it's not enough. But nobody likes to hear that, right? Nobody likes to hear, like, all the effort and time we went into to lift up a community is not the end of our journey. People want the gold star. They want to know that they are doing the right thing. But if the people at your organization who are in management positions, who are in leadership positions, are primarily homogenous, then that's a point to reevaluate.
We want to hear from you. Speechless, at its core, is intended to elevate voices. Your voice matters. So write in. Have you heard? Zoo Advisors is now Canopy Strategic Partners. Click the link in today's episode to learn a little bit more.